Hello, children. It is once again a great joy to have another lesson with you, and we'll get right into it. We've been studying the story of Moses and the Israelites and God through the book of Exodus. And as you remember in the previous lessons, we've learned how God reveals his power to the Egyptians, and he specifically targets the gods that Egyptians have came up with, and God specifically proves that he is the one and only true God. He sends multiple of these plagues targeting specific gods, and with one plague he targets the god of the river. With another plague, he targets the god that resembled a frog. And with another plague, he targets Pharaoh himself, because Pharaoh was claimed to be one of the descendants of the god of the sun. And God puts on a plague for 3 days where Egypt is in a complete darkness. And all these plagues are being followed by the one and final plague, which was the death of the every firstborn child. And as we remember, the Bible says that there has not been a single household that did not lose a child. And we're specifically talking about the Egyptians. When it comes to the Israelites, the Bible says that not even the sound of the dog would be heard, the bark of the dog. So through obedience and directions that God gives the Israelites, they are not being touched. It is only a plague on the Egyptian people. And after that final 10th plague, Pharaoh calls in Moses and Aaron, and he demands him and the Israelites to leave at once, which they do. And while they are leaving Egypt, the people of Egypt end up giving up their jewelry, gold and silver, and the Israelites end up leaving Egypt with a great treasure in their hands. So now the Israelites are out in the desert, and they're heading towards the Red Sea. And Pharaoh realizes what he has done, and he has a change of heart, and he sends his army, with him included, after the Israelites, trying to catch up to them to bring them back to Egypt. And Israelites are being in a situation where they are stuck between the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh. So they were afraid, and as the Bible says, they have cried out to Lord, but then they turned to Moses and they turned to him with anger, saying, "Why did you take us out of Egypt?" They say, "We could have died there in Egypt instead of being taken out here in the desert, and now we're going to die here." So Moses gives him an answer, the answer from God, saying that you need to trust God and watch him deliver you from the army of Pharaoh. And that's exactly what he did. God splits the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk through, and the Egyptians, seeing this miracle, are not afraid to go after. They continue running after the Israelites. But as soon as the last Israelite make it out of the Red Sea, God brings back the sea into its normal state, while the Egyptians are still in it, so they end up drowning. With this short review of our past lessons, we're gonna pick it up from here. And before we start our lesson, there will be some questions that I will ask you. And those questions, we will pause somewhere in the middle of a lesson and you will discuss with your family. This lesson, the first part, is gonna have 4 questions. Try to answer these questions as we go through the lesson. I'm sure it will help you to remember them as we repeat them in the middle of the lesson for the short discussion that you will have throughout the lesson. So, the first question. Approximately, how long were Israelites slaves in Egypt? How does God lead the Israelites in the desert, specifically during the day and during the night? After crossing the Red Sea, how many days did Moses and the people travel to find waters at Marah? What did Moses do to deal with the people complaining about bitter water at Marah? Now let's get into the lesson. Now, in today's lesson, we're going to continue seeing how God teaches his people to trust him. And specifically, he teaches to trust them in provision, how he provides for them for their physical needs. In the previous lessons, we've seen how God made a provision for their deliverance by delivering them from the slavery. And now we're going to see how God provides for their physical need, specifically food and water. And as we begin, I will ask a few more questions, and you can pause if you wish. How many of you have ever been swimming? Were you able to swim right away as a baby? I'm pretty sure the answer is no. You had to have help from your dad or your mom or brother or sister. Babies aren't born with an ability to swim, right? Now, what would happen if your dad or mom or brother or sister, they weren't there to catch you the first time you tried to swim? Would you have been able to swim by yourself? Most likely not. The babies depend on their dad or mom to catch them because they can't swim just yet. If the dad doesn't catch the baby, it's bad news for the baby, right? You could say the baby is depending on or trusting his dad to catch him. Well, this is what we see God doing with the Israelites in the desert. The Israelites have spent last 430 years in slavery, so they really don't know how to live outside of slavery. Everything was dictated to them in Egypt while they were slaves, and now being in the wilderness, they don't really know how or what to do. Today we're going to talk about trusting God, and when we talk about the word trust, you can remember this picture, because this is what trust means. It's depending on someone or something else for help. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about the children of Israel. They were left in Egypt, being slaves for over 400 years, were chased by Pharaoh to the Red Sea. God parted waters of the Red Sea so they could walk through, and then closed the Red Sea back up when Pharaoh and his army tried to cross. Now the children of Israel are free. For the first time that any of them can remember in their whole life, they are no longer slaves. They are free people. So God looks at them in a number of ways. After all, they're walking around in the desert, so some directions would be nice, right? But God doesn't give them a map. He gives them something even cooler. God put a pillar of cloud in the sky specifically for them to follow. That was during the day. As God moved the pillar of cloud, the children of Israel would follow it wherever it went. This was the way God gave them directions. Whenever God moved the pillar, the children of Israel followed. And at night, when you could no longer see the cloud, it turned into a huge pillar of fire. This way, even at night, the children of Israel knew exactly where to go. And as we mentioned a minute ago, the children of Israel are in a desert. Is it easy to survive in a desert? Not really, right? Like, you're not gonna see McDonald's anywhere in this picture. Or maybe a water fountain that we see in our church that I'm pretty sure each and every one of you have came up to at least once to get a drink. The desert isn't friendly to people. Food and water are really hard to come by in a desert. In fact, just surviving, just staying alive, is difficult in the desert. Today I'm going to share a few facts about surviving and what it takes to stay alive when the conditions are difficult. I'd like to share with you the survival facts of trees. Did you know that majority of people can go about 3 minutes without air? If you don't get air in about 3 minutes, you will die. And most people can survive about 3 hours in extreme elements. So if it's super, super hot or super, super cold, you can make it about 3 hours without help. So if you happen to be stuck in a desert for 3 hours, that's probably all you're gonna have. Or if you end up being somewhere in a blizzard cold, your life expectancy unfortunately will not last longer than 3 hours. Now, believe it or not, you can actually survive about 3 weeks without food. Quite frankly, I suggest you don't try to go 3 weeks without food. And lastly, you can go about 3 days without water. If you haven't had anything to drink at all, you could go about 3 days. So that makes water really important in our life. With that in mind, let's look at what Moses says happened in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and walked for a few days. Then they started to have trouble. It's been 3 days since they had found water. And from what we just learned about the facts of survival, 3 days without water, that's a problem. You can't go much more than 3 days without water. So some of the Moses' people, the children of Israel, are worried because if they don't get water soon, they are going to die. Not only that, but who is leading them around the desert? God is, right? With the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So it seems like God isn't being very trustworthy, right? God knows we can't live without water, but it's been 3 days and these people haven't found any. So slowly, one by one, they're starting to lose trust in God. Until they see something in the distance. As they walk up to it, they realize it's water. They are probably really excited. Some of these people need water quickly or else they are just going to die. And they have finally found what they have been looking for. So they run up to the water, kneel down, take some water in their hands and put it to their mouths. And what happens? It's bitter, it's sour. The water is not even good to drink. It really, really tastes bad. It's so bad that as thirsty as they are, they can't stand to drink it. This kind of seems like a cruel joke, doesn't it? These people haven't had water in 3 days. They won't survive much longer without water. And when God, with the cloud, directs them to some water, it's bitter, and they are unable to drink it. Being frustrated from the heat and from thirst, people start to complain to Moses. And what does Moses do to deal with them? Well, Moses does the right thing and he turns to God. He asks God what to do next. And God gives him some instructions to follow that might have seemed a little strange, but Moses goes ahead and does what God tells him. God tells Moses to take a log that's over by the water and throw it in. Now, if you or I threw a log into water, what would it make water taste like? Any better? Probably not. It would only make the water taste like tree bark. But Moses trusts God, and he does what God told him to do. So he takes the log and he throws it into the water. And the water instantly turns sweet. Immediately the water goes from undrinkable to being really, really good water. God has shown Moses and all the children of Israel that he can be trusted, even when it seems like all hopes are lost. God was still in control, so the people drink water at Meribah and continue on their journey. And this is the point where we're going to pause and have a discussion with our families on these 4 following questions. Approximately how long were Israelites slaves in Egypt? How does God lead the Israelites in the desert, specifically during the day and during the night? After crossing the Red Sea, how many days did it take Moses and the people to travel to find the water at Meribah? And the 4th question, what did Moses do to deal with the people complaining about the bitter water at Meribah? At this point, you can go ahead and hit pause and have a discussion. Now let's answer these questions. Approximately how many years were Israelites slaves in Egypt? The Bible tells us approximately 430 years. How does God lead the Israelites in the desert, specifically during the day and during the night? The Bible tells us that God doesn't give them the map, but he leads them with a pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire during the night. After crossing the Red Sea, how many days did it take Moses and the people to travel to find waters at Meribah? The Bible says it takes 3 days. What did Moses do to deal with people complaining about bitter water at Meribah? This was the tricky question. What Moses does is first he talks to God. The Bible says that Moses asks God for directions, and God tells him what to do. And as we read, it says that he tells him to grab a log that is by the water and throw it in. And we read that Moses obeys and throws the log into the water, which turns bitter water into sweet. And now, the next set of questions, which you guys will have discussions with your family after the lesson. And these questions are, what is the name of the bread that rained down from heaven? In what form did this bread rain down from heaven? Besides the Israelites, who else eats this bread from heaven? When the Israelites complain for the second time about being thirsty, where does the water come from this time? What does God want when he provides for his children? Now let's get back into the lesson. About a month goes by, and we hear the people start complaining again. But this time, it's not because they're thirsty. This time, they're upset because there's no food. In fact, they ask Moses what he's up to. We read in Exodus 16, verse 3. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Here we see that Israelites are asking Moses, "Did you bring us out here to this desert so we could starve to death?" They want to know if Moses' big plan was to walk around the desert and wait to die of hunger. The children of Israel think back to their time in Egypt, where at least they had food to eat. So Moses, he goes back to talk to God about this. And God says something that sounds a little crazy to us. Exodus 16, verse 4. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you.'" Did you hear that? God says that bread is going to fall from the sky. When we first hear this, we just imagine bread literally falling from the sky, right? As in loaves of bread or maybe some other sliced bread. I mean, this is kind of what I picture when I hear that food, in this case bread, is going to fall from the sky. I imagine looking up and being like, "Toast incoming." If we hear that bread was going to fall from heaven today, this is probably what we would expect. But in this case, it didn't really look like this. God did rain down bread from heaven, but instead of being it like a sliced bread or a loaf of bread, it looked like this. Here's how Moses described the bread that fell from heaven. Exodus chapter 16, verse 31. "The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey." The bread looked like seeds. Now you may think to yourself, this doesn't really look like bread. And God said he was going to send bread from heaven. God told Moses to tell all the people to take the coriander seed, or manna as they called it, and grind it up so it would look like flour, and bake it into bread. God sent the exact ingredient they needed to make bread in the wilderness. Not only that, but every morning when the food came, it fell on top of the dew. You know, in the morning when you go outside and the grass is a little wet, even though it hasn't rained, well, that's what they call dew. God sent his food and put it on top of the dew. It's like he was protecting the food from getting all dusty and dirty on the desert floor. Now, if we're honest, bread is good when we're starving. But plain bread doesn't sound that delicious, does it? It sounds kind of plain and boring. I mean, who wants to eat plain bread every day for the rest of their life? Not me for sure. But this wasn't just any bread. Moses tells us it tasted like honey and like pastries. That sounds a little better, doesn't it? But there's one more thing about this bread we need to understand. Let's go ahead and open up to Psalm 78. Verse 25. "Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat." This wasn't just any old bread. This was the bread that angels eat. The idea here is this is bread fit for angels, for kings, and for people in the high places. This wasn't plain bread that we all might think of. This is the bread the angels eat. How cool is that? God sure was looking out for his people. Quickly, let's look at one more way God took care of Moses and the children of Israel in the desert. This is one more way God was showing them that he can be trusted. Moses tells us in the beginning of chapter 17 of Exodus that they ran into familiar problems. They were thirsty once again. Exodus chapter 17, second part of the first verse, says that they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. But this problem is a little different than the last one. This time, they have no water. Last time, they had water. It was just bitter. This time, there's no water at all. So Moses tells us that the people started to complain again. But this isn't just the complaining like, "Hey Moses, we wish we could have some water." This is like a mob demanding water. The idea is the people putting Moses on trial. "Moses, either you're going to deliver water or else you're out. Moses, it's time to either give us water or we are done with you. Moses, are you a leader or are you not?" In the second verse of chapter 17, the way the Bible uses word complain, it is a very serious type of complaint. It is a very strong expression of the word complain. These people are very upset and they want answers. And particularly, they want water. So Moses talks with God once again. And God tells him to do something amazing. Moses writes down what God tells him to do. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. "I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for people to drink." Try to picture that, just being there in the desert in front of the rock. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether Moses shares the information with the people, but just imagine being there in the crowd by the rock and knowing that God is standing on a rock. Moses lifts up his hand and strikes the rock, and the water comes out, enough water for 2 million people, maybe more, maybe less. But try to picture that in your mind. What a miracle that is, isn't it? So we've seen how God used a log to turn bitter water into sweet. We've seen God rain down bread, or what they called manna, from heaven. And we just learned about God giving the Israelites water from a rock. All three of these things, they aren't normal. We don't usually get water from rock. We get it from rivers and lakes and from rain. We don't usually get our bread from the sky. We get it from the wheat that grows out of the ground. So why did God pick these crazy ways to give water and bread to the children of Israel? Why didn't God just let some wheat grow up from the ground? Why didn't God just let rain come out of the sky and let the people get water that way? For one reason, because over and over again, God wanted to prove to the children of Israel that it was him that was providing for them. God wanted to leave no doubt that the manna and the water were coming from the Almighty, all-powerful God. God wanted us to know, without a doubt, that he was taking care of his people. God also wanted Israel to know it was him and to trust him. God wanted Israel's trust, and he wants yours as well. Just like the children of Israel needed to rely on God for food and water, God wants us to trust Him completely and rely that on the fact that He will provide. Whether it's food or water or for something far less important, God wants us to put all our trust in Him. Just like the baby from the beginning of our lesson that trusts his dad to catch him when he's learning how to swim. God wants us to jump into His arms. He promised us to always catch us. We can trust Him. And as one of my favorite verses says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Boys and girls, thank you so much for listening to this lesson. I will go ahead and repeat the questions that you will go ahead and discuss with your families. First question, what is the name of the bread that rained down from heaven? In what form did this bread rain down from heaven? Beside the Israelites, who else ate this bread from heaven? When the Israelites complained about being thirsty for the second time, where did the water come from? And last one, what does God want when He provides for His children? Let us finish this lesson with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much once again for this amazing opportunity that we have to be together through this recording. Lord, even though we can't see each other, but we are able to hear. And thank you so much for blessing us with hearing. Lord, I thank you for the technology that we have that allows me to record and send it to everybody who wants to hear this. Thank you so much, God, for your word and for the freedom that we have to read the Bible, to study it, and to share it. Thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus Christ and for what He did, for dying for us on the cross, and through that death, we today have life. Lord, there are times when it is hard to trust, really it is. But as children, I pray that you teach us how to trust you. We are not seeking miracles. We are not seeking something to see or to touch. Lord, we are asking to teach us how to trust you in our hearts. Teach us how to trust you with our thoughts and with our lives. And with every step that we take in our lives, Lord, I pray that you teach us how to first come to you. And just like Moses, seek instructions from you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for everything that you do in our lives. And I pray that you bless us as we continue on from here. We worship you and love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.